الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this beautiful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ The best day in which the sun can rise is this blessed day of Jumu'ah. But before we go any further, I wish to place on record our sincere, heartfelt sorrow and grief upon the loss of our respected Imam Mufti Yusuf Desai Saab. Family members of his had passed away. He was involved in an accident. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those that have passed on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill their graves with nur. May Allah grant them the highest of stages in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause peace and patience to pour upon the family of Mufti Saab and also his extended family members as well. It's a difficult situation. Each one of us as individuals, if we can just take a few moments to recite three times Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and send it as sawab, inshallah, for those that have passed away. And at the same time, within our hearts, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really keep them steadfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower them with his mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in their difficult time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, inshallah. Respected brothers and elders, let's go on to our topic of discussion today. Sometimes a cursory glance at individuals or single people will look at a person and we will be amazed at the outward appearance of that individual. So just a brief glance at a man from afar, you'll see a person dressed in a wonderful manner, you'll see him smiling, you'll see him laughing, and from afar you might come to the conclusion that there's nobody happier than this individual. What a life he has. Look at the smile on his face. Look at the clothes he's wearing. And sometimes from afar you look at him and you'll wish, how I wish I could have been like that. How I wish I could have looked like that. I think that man has a perfect life. But that's when we're looking at it from afar. If we go a little closer and we look again, it's a totally different scenario. It's a different story altogether. Because now when you go closer and look, you'll see that behind that smile lies grief. Behind that joy lies heartache. Behind that outward appearance lies a man who's depressed. A person who has no inner peace. A person who has no joy and contentment within himself. And sometimes from afar, we look at a person's home. What a beautiful house. The garden is absolutely outstanding. The architecture is amazing. So you look at the home from afar, and to you it will seem like this is a home from Jannah. What a beautiful house. You will look at it and you will wish, how I wish my home could have looked like that. But that's when you're looking at it from afar. Go a little closer and look beyond the walls of that home. Look past the beauty of that home and look into that home, and sometimes it's a totally different scenario. It's a different story because outwardly that home looks beautiful. Outwardly that home looks outstanding. But within that home, there's cracks. Within that home, there's no peace. Within that home, there's no joy. Within that home, there's absolute restlessness. Nothing going good. Everybody depressed. There's friction. There's fighting. There's misunderstanding. But outwardly it looks so nice. And sometimes it's the exact opposite. Because sometimes we look at a person from afar, and what we see doesn't really appeal to our eyes. The person is not dressed in the best of manners. He doesn't have the best of physical features. But you're looking at it from far. Go closer. Sometimes you look at a man, there's probably tears running down his cheeks. He's probably crying, so probably he has the image of somebody who's depressed and somebody who's going through immense difficulty. So from afar when you look, you will come to the conclusion, I don't want to be like that. Shame, that man looks like he's suffering. But you're looking at it from far. Go closer and look at the man again. And you'll see that sometimes behind those tears, behind that outward appearance, lies a peaceful heart, lies a happy soul, and lies a contented individual. And sometimes you look at a person's home from afar, and it's not appealing to you. The walls are definitely cracking from what you can see. The house needs a paint job. The garden is not tended to. Doesn't look appealing. You'll probably want to tell the man, you know, brother, take care of your house a little bit, man. It's not looking nice, man. It's an eyesore. Imagine your neighbor, the bush is growing there. It affects us. We find it uncomfortable. But look beyond that. Go a little closer. And you'll see beyond the walls of that home lies a home of peace, lies a home of happiness, lies a home of joy. So it's not by what we see from afar, but it's what is the reality that is most important. And again, we're living in the age of technology. So even sometimes you're inundated with a person's constant profile of his life on social media. All those picture perfect moments. The man is flying here, his family is holidaying there, he's at this restaurant, he's at this social place. What a beautiful life. You look at those pictures and you'll be convinced, wow, the man is living Jannat in this world. But is that the reality? Are those picture-perfect moments the reality of this person's life? Or when you go closer, it's a different story. He has an image of a picture-perfect life, but it's so far from that, words can't explain. The couple are smiling and posing together for that picture, but they can't say two words of kindness to one another. They can't smile to one another. They can smile at the lens of the camera. We can put up a wonderful image for the world to see, but we know what is the reality within ourselves. Today, there's a great lack of contentment in the world. And that's going to be our topic of discussion. What is known as qana'ah in our deen. Real contentment, real peace of mind. Everybody is looking for it. Everybody is searching for it. Some have it. Allah has blessed them with it. And they enjoy the fruits of it. But every one of us are looking for it. We want that real joy. We want that real inner peace. We want contentment. But today we're going to discuss three aspects. Two that deal with the fact of why are we struggling to find contentment in our life. Why is it that we don't have it? Why is it that it's lacking amongst us? And inshallah, the third one will be to see how do we get it in our lives, inshallah. Number one, they say that one of the reasons why we are greatly lacking contentment within ourselves and within our communities and as individuals is because we're looking for it in the wrong place. We're searching for it where it does not exist. Some people feel that contentment, joy and happiness lies in power, but yet they have all the power and authority and they're still not happy and content. Some people might feel that if I'm famous in the community, if I'm famous amongst people, then that's going to bring me joy and contentment. That's going to make me happy. But when they have that fame, there's still no joy and contentment. And then we base it sometimes on material aspects, that if I acquire this in my life or if I have a certain figure to my bank balance, then that's going to make me content. Only to realize that even when you reach those figures and you have those material possessions, you're still not happy and you're still not content. We're searching for it in the wrong place. We're searching for it where it does not exist. The verse that I recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha." Whoever does good deeds, male or female, فَلَنُحْيِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ in a state of iman. Allah says, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah gives you a guarantee, we will give that person a good life. We'll give him a pure life. And the commentators of the Quran explain this part of فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا نَرْزُقُهُ الْقَنَاعَةً. We will give him contentment. We will bless him with contentment. So where is it found? It's found in the pleasure of Allah. It's definitely not found in displeasing Allah. Because there's a misconception that we have. We think if we're happy, we're content. But that's not the case. That's not how it works. If you do a search and you see the definition of happiness and the definition of contentment, then they both seem almost the same. But there's a fine line that defines the two. There's a difference between the two. Because happiness is a state of emotion that's not going to last. Today you're happy, tomorrow you're sad. Today there's sunshine, tomorrow there's thunder and lightning. Life is constantly changing. There's always a fluctuation of emotions. Nothing remains the same. So happiness is just a state of emotion that's short-lived. It doesn't last forever. You can't be smiling all the time. You can't be laughing all the time. Sometimes life is going to get you down. Sometimes the challenges of life will bring a tear to your eye. So happiness and contentment, although they're similar in definition, there's a difference between the two. Contentment is something else altogether. Because a person can be happy, but not content. And sometimes a person can be sad, but definitely be content. That's the difference. Now we think when we're happy, that means we're content. I'm smiling now, so mashallah, I'm very content. Alhamdulillah, we're praising Allah. But what happens when that happiness comes to an end? What happens when there's a turn of events? What happens when there's a challenge that comes upon you? Then now it's depression. Then now it's despair. But yesterday you were smiling. Yesterday you were praising Allah. You know, mashallah, Mawlana, you know, Allah has been so kind to me. Alhamdulillah. You smiling yesterday, but today when there's a challenge, you're wondering, what happened? What did I do wrong? What went wrong? I don't know where to turn. There's no peace, there's no contentment. So we confuse the two. And sometimes the material things of this world bring us happiness. They make us happy. So we buy in our happiness, but then we think we're content. But what happens when that happiness is over? It's short-lived. Contentment is different. Contentment, if you have that quality within you, then even if difficulty comes upon you, even if hardship comes upon you, because life is unpredictable, then you will still be able to deal with those challenges. There won't be that despair. There won't be that discontentment. How many people are depressed? How many people are on medication? We can't find sukoon. We can't find peace. Yet we have everything the world has to offer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a warning in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man a'rada 'an dhikri," whoever turns away from my obedience, whoever turns away from my remembrance, Allah says, "Fa'inna lahu ma'ishatan dhanka." We will give that person a narrow life. We will make his life difficult. So a person will be traveling in business class, but he can't sleep. And the one in economy is passed out, he's snoring. Sometimes the plane lands and the person is still sleeping. You gotta shake him up, bye, come, everybody's moving out of the plane, you're still sleeping. But he's in economy. And the one sitting in business class, he's tossing and turning. He can't sleep. He has everything the world has to offer, but no peace, no contentment. He's in five-star luxury constantly, but he can't have a smile on his face. He doesn't have that genuine contentment because he's looking for it in the wrong place. We will only find it when our actions are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make an effort to please Allah in all aspects of our life. Because when Allah is pleased with us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that genuine contentment and peace in our life. What we all are searching for, what we all are striving for. We can't go by what's apparent. Because what is apparent is sometimes fake. It's not the reality. We can't come to conclusions looking at things from afar. Go closer, see how people are suffering. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a tear to shed. People are desperate. They're looking left, they're looking right. They're tossing and turning. They can't find joy. We're chasing and we're chasing and we're chasing, but we're getting nowhere. It's like we're running and we're standing still. We're not moving anywhere. We're running on a treadmill. We're still in the same place. But contentment is there for us to take. It's there for us to enjoy. And it's there in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we constantly need to analyze our lives. Are our actions pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By our luxuries increasing in this world and by our bank balances increasing, that's a ni'mah of Allah. But sometimes we gotta analyze that, is that ni'mah really bringing me closer to Allah? It doesn't mean because I have everything of the world, I've got everything, Allah is very pleased with me, I can do as I want. No, I still got to make a constant effort to please Allah. I got to still make a constant effort to maintain my link and my bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So are these material things bringing me closer to Allah, or are they taking me further away from Allah? Because we can own the best of the world, but we won't be content. Because they say happiness and contentment is not in owning the best of everything, but it is in making the best of what you have. It's about valuing what you got. That's contentment, that's peace. Not by owning everything, but by making the best of what you have. And they say that the second reason why we're struggling to find contentment and peace in our lives is that we've become used to a certain type of mentality. It's called instant gratification. You know what's instant gratification? That everything needs to happen right now, this second, I can't wait. It has to be spontaneous. Then again, because we've become used and accustomed to technology, so you send a message, instantly you need a reply. The transfer must be done same time. Everything must be spontaneous. But that's not the actual system of the world. That's not how the world works. Because there's a system and a way of events that have to turn out. Because they say first you plant, then you cultivate, and finally you reap the rewards of your effort. There's a process in life that everyone has to follow. It's a natural procession of life. But we want everything to happen now. So a person gets married, instantly it has to be bliss and honeymoon. He must be smiling all the way. But it doesn't happen. So when it doesn't happen, he's ready to throw in the towel. A person starts a business, instantly he needs to become a millionaire. He needs to make money immediately. When it's not happening, now he's depressed. Everywhere in our life, we want instant gratification. Everything must happen at the click of a button. And the saddest part is, even in our dua to Allah, when we lift in our hands up to Allah, we're expecting the same sort of result. That I'm making dua needs to happen immediately. Not happening, I get depressed. It's not coming my way, I get sad. Why do I get sad? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every dua that a believer makes is definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma lam yasta'jil. As long as he does not become hasty. And then the sahaba asked, mal isti'jal? What is becoming hasty? Tell us, O Messenger of Allah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a person says that قَدْ دَعُوتُ وَدَعُوتُ. I'm making dua day and night. You know, sometimes people say, Mawlana, I'm trying everything, man. I even started reading namaz. I'm punctual with all my salah. I'm making dua, I'm reading Quran. Nothing coming right. It's not happening. So a person says, I'm making dua, but I don't think my dua is getting accepted. I'm not seeing the results of my dua. So as a result, he stops making dua. That person's dua, how is it ever going to be accepted? Now we lift in our hands up and we want spontaneous results. It must happen now. But little do we realize how our du'as are accepted. Because we lift our hands up and we say, oh Allah, I need this aspect in my life. I need A for an example. Now Allah doesn't give you A, but from B to Z Allah is giving you. And Allah is showering that upon you. But you concentrating, I ask for A, I never get A. I never get what I ask for. But what about what Allah gave you without you asking? Sometimes we're asking Allah to give us something in our life. We don't get it at that moment. But because we raised our hands up to Allah, because we showed our dependence on Allah, Allah might be removing some other hurdles that we're going to come upon us. So it's removed from you. You never saw that. You're looking at what you never got and you think nothing is happening. But everything is happening. So instant gratification has played a great role in us being discontent in life, in robbing us of contentment. Because we want everything to happen at the touch of a button. I make dua, oh Allah, I need it to happen now. It must happen right now. And if it's not happening now, then I got a problem. Then I'm depressed. Allah says, Asa an tuhibbu shay'aw wa huwa sharrun lakum. Sometimes you want it right now, but that's not the best thing for you. Sometimes you love something right now, but that's the worst thing for you because you can't see the broader picture. We have limited vision. We have limited understanding. Allah is the supreme controller of every condition. Allah knows what's happening. Allah knows what's good for you. And Allah knows when that moment is perfect for you. Allah knows when it's right for you to get whatever you're going to get in life. And Allah knows when it's not good for you to get what you want right now in life. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows, your understanding is limited. How much can we think? We can't think further than tomorrow, than our noses. In reality, the ultimate knowledge is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. Allah knows best what is good for us and when is it good for us. So instant gratification is something that we need to move away from. There's effort that's required in life, and sometimes there's patience that's required in life. Life is not about fun and games. Life is not about constantly smiling and having fun and joy. Life is a challenge. Life is difficult. Look at the news that we received this morning. Life is like that. It's unpredictable. Today we're here, tomorrow we're gone. There's a purpose that we have been created and we've been sent for in this life. And that is to worship Allah. That is to recognize Allah. And that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is to prepare for our real life, the life of the year after. Fun and games will be in Jannah. Everlasting joy will be in Jannah. It won't be in this world. Now let's move on to the third aspect. And that is, how do we get contentment in our life? How do we achieve this? Very simple. Right now, as we seated, we need to ask ourselves a very important question. That are we happy and content with life as it is right now, this very moment? It's a very important question. Because sometimes we base our happiness and contentment, or we suspend our happiness and contentment on what we've not yet achieved in life. And we always want something to be different, then we're going to be happy. You know, they say the if and but syndrome. We always have ifs and buts. You know, everything is okay, but you know, I need that to be like this. And if only this was like that in my life, then I'll be happy. And if I acquire that in my life, then I'm going to be happy. And if this problem gets sorted out, then my life is set. So we base our happiness and contentment on what we've not yet achieved in life. On what not yet has come our way in life. Now, because we suspend it on what we don't have, we're never going to be happy. Because there's no guarantee that even when it changes and we get what we want, that we're going to be happy. There's no guarantee of that. Because how many people feel, you know, when they're young, they plan. When I reach this stage, I'm going to retire. I just need to make that amount of money and then I'm set. But sometimes he made five times that amount, he's still working day and night. There's no even thought of retirement. Why? He tasted the sweetness. He wants more and more. So we can't base it on what we don't have. We got to be happy and content with life as it is right now. But again, let's not misunderstand. Everybody wants a change. Everybody wants a little more. Sometimes we want things to be different in our life. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask of Allah. His treasures are unlimited. We're not saying that now you mustn't ask for more. You must just be happy with what you got. No, that's not what we're advocating. But what we're saying is, even though you want more, there's nothing wrong with that. But are you happy with what you have? Are you content with it as it is now? Because if you're content with everything as it is now, and if you're genuinely happy right now, then when that change does come about, it's only going to double your joy. It's only going to make you more content. It's only going to make you more happy. But when you're basing it on what you don't have, and you're discontent, and you're unhappy right now, there's no guarantee that when things change, your feeling is going to change as well. You don't have that guarantee. So we got to be happy with life as it is. It's the decision of Allah. Again, there's nothing wrong with wanting the change. There's nothing wrong with making effort for that change. There's nothing wrong with asking of Allah to make that change. Doesn't mean you're discontent. You turn into Allah. You're asking of Allah. That's your relationship with your Creator. But you also got to be happy with life as it is now. There's challenges that come our way. There's difficulties that come our way. But every condition is from Allah. It's part of our iman. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَقْدِير. Good and bad. Good conditions, bad conditions. Happiness, sadness is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try and be happy with your life as it is. Are you happy with your spouse? Are you happy with your children? Are you happy with your life? But today we've got a complaint about everyone and everything. No, my wife is okay, but you know this needs to change. My husband is okay, but you know I'm very happy. Remove those buts from our life. We've got so much to be happy with in life. We've got so much to be grateful for in life. But we always look at our weaknesses. We only look at what we don't have. I always give this example. Sometimes a person is bidding for a wonderful property or project. It's about to come his way. He's basing his whole retirement package on that deal. And he's almost there and suddenly it slips out of his hand. Suddenly it goes into the possession of someone else. The man is finished. He's depressed. You know, I was set. It was almost there. I just missed it. So you're depressed at the one thing that you never got in life, but you're forgetting about the 20 others that came your way. So the example of property is, person got 20 freehold properties, but he's crying over the one that he lost. What about the 20 that are freehold? Thank Allah for that. Shouldn't that bring you joy? Shouldn't that bring you contentment and happiness? Obviously you want more, there's no problem. But do you have to be depressed? Do you have to be so sad? Do we have to become so discontent? Thank Allah. They say if you start counting your blessings, you'll forget about all your problems. But today we're only looking at the negatives. I never get this, I never get that. This never went my way, that never went my way. What about everything that went your way without you asking? What about what Allah blessed you with without you even asking? Have you thanked Allah for that? Have you been grateful for that? Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I will increase you in all bounties and goodness. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ. But if you're constantly complaining and you constantly got a problem with everything, Allah says, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. My punishment is also severe, and there's no worse punishment than discontentment. Because when a man is discontent, the treasures of the world won't fill him. When a man is discontent, the happiness of the world won't bring a smile to his face. But when a man is content, then even though there's trials, it doesn't mean now your life is going to be perfect if you're content. No hardship, no difficulty. Life is unpredictable. Even when those challenges come upon you, your heart will be intact. You will have peace of mind. There'll be a tear running down your face. You might be depressed. It's difficult outwardly. But within your heart, you will have genuine peace. And I open up the discussion by saying, from afar, when you look at a person, sometimes he looks like the happiest man on earth. But go closer and look at him again. It's a different story. Behind that smile lies grief. Behind that smile lies heartache. Behind that smile lies discontentment. And sometimes you look at a person's home from afar. It's a beautiful home. It's a palace. But you're looking at it from far. Go beyond the walls of that home and look again. And how many a home has discontentment? How many a home has friction? We can't see eye to eye. We can't have a decent conversation. There's no peace in that home. We're in one home, but we're worlds apart. And sometimes outwardly a man will cry. A man's condition looks difficult outwardly, but go beyond that heartache and that grief, and you'll see a content soul. You'll see a person who's happy with the decision of Allah. I'll leave you with these words. They say, we're living in such a time of such discontentment that nobody is happy. So they say that the married person goes through so much of difficulties and challenges sometimes in their marriage that they feel, I think I was happier when I was single. I think my life was better off when I was single. But the person who's single, he's basing his happiness, I can't wait for the day I get married. Then I'm going to be happy, then I'm going to be content. And they say sometimes the rich man goes through so much of challenges and difficulties in life. He has this commitment, he has that commitment. So he reaches such a state of difficulty that he looks within himself and he says, I think when I had less in life, I was happier. I was more content. I never had so much of responsibilities, so much of challenges. So when I had less in life, I think I was happier. But the one who doesn't have a lot in life, he's looking at the rich man and he's saying, wow, I wish I had that money. Then my life would have been set. Then I would have been happy. You know, on a lighter note, one day when brother told me, he says, Mulana, you know, one day I was sitting in the masjid, average income, wonderful individual, not a very, very rich man, simple, content man. He's sitting and reading his Quran. So he says, while I was reading my Quran, one very, very rich person was sitting opposite me. He had his tasbih in his hand. So he says, this person wakes up and he comes to me, sits down next to me, greets me. He says, brother, you know, I'm sitting over here opposite and I'm admiring you, man. Hey, you got a simple life, you know, average income, you got your one shop. You're happy with life, man. I'm admiring you. I got so much, I have to worry about this, I have to worry about that. Hey, I wish I had your life. So the person narrating the story to me, he said, Mulana, it was on my tongue. I was just tempted to say, brother, let's swap any time. I don't mind. Let's sign it over. I don't have no issue. No problem. So the one who has everything, sometimes he feels I was better off when I had less. But the one who has nothing, he feels I wish I had everything. Then I'm going to be happy in life. The old person goes through challenges sometimes. It's sickness. It's this complication. It's that complication. So he feels, I think I was better when I was better off in life when I was younger. When I had my health, when I had my strength. Then I was happier in life. But the one who's young and at the peak of his life, he's tired of working. He says, I can't wait to retire. How long more must I work in life? And sometimes he might feel that, why do I have to have all these responsibilities and work? I think I was happier when I was in school. Maybe my life was better off then. I had other people taking care. of my responsibilities. But the person in school, he's not happy. He can't wait to be a man. How long must he have people over him? He wants to be a man. He wants to take charge of his life. So who is happy? And they say sometimes that the living go through so much of challenges and trials in the world that they reach such a state of depression that they come sometimes to the mindset and the frame of mind that I think we're better off if we leave this world. We can't take it anymore. But they say if only the dead could speak, then they would wish to come back into the world and make amends for what they missed out in life. Because now they see the reality of life after they leave this world. What is really valuable and what is not valuable. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. And may Allah grant us the wonderful quality of contentment. It's not in owning everything, but it's in making the best of what you have. It's about being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, there's nothing wrong with asking for more. We all want more. Everybody wants a little more. We want things to be a little better. We want a few changes in life. There's nothing wrong with that. But how about starting to thank Allah? How about starting to be grateful for so many things in your life? There's nothing wrong. You got your complaints, you got your needs. Turn to Allah. Today we cry on the shoulders of man. Cry to Allah. Put your problem forward before Allah. Allah will change it inshallah. But at the same time, be grateful to Allah. Lift your hands up and say, oh Allah, how can I ever thank you for what you've blessed me for what you have blessed me with so far in my life? Our entire lives, how much of ni'mats and bounties we've received from Allah. But imagine it's only complaints, only complaints. We're lifting up our hands, oh Allah, this is not right, that's not right. How is that possible? We only looking at our weaknesses. We only looking at what never come our way. Start to thank Allah. Be grateful to Allah. And when you're grateful to Allah, Allah will definitely shower you with contentment. Allah will shower you with His blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. And again, as individuals, each one of us, it's for those of us who have not received the news, our respected Imam was involved in an accident in the early parts of the morning. Family members of his had passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. May Allah grant them the highest of stages in Jannah. So again, if we can recite 3 times Suratul Ikhlas and send it as sawab for those who have passed on, and we make dua that Allah shower Mulana and his family with patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in their difficult time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all these. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.